Now we are going to throw the phone lines open. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. And long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And you can probably hear it. Wouldn't quite say I've got the pipes back yet. It's been a week. So I need your help out there on a Saturday night. And again, maybe this is a little bit different than usual, because most of the season it's been when the Blue Jays have lost, we get a lot of calls, people are angry, people are frustrated, people have a lot invested in the team, and they're disappointed. So when they win, it's usually a lot quieter. But now things are changing, and I'm wondering, out there, can you feel it? Do you see what's going on? This Blue Jays team is now 21-16 since that loss to the Mariners back on May 4th. That's the second best record in the American League East. Since May the 11th, they're 18-12. They've won 3 out of every 5 games, a .600 winning percentage, which is the second best record in the American League. And this is still without Jose Reyes, without Brandon Morrow. Josh Johnson has had one good start over these 30 games. So this is a team that's turning things around, and there are a lot of reinforcements coming. There's a lot of season left. Still 5 games under .500, but they've won 7 of 9. They've won 4 in a row. With a win tomorrow, they have a 5-1 road trip. And even if they don't, 4-2 through Chicago and Texas ain't bad. And they're home for 6. June, for years, has been the ugliest month for the Toronto Blue Jays. It became a thing, a June swoon. But this June, things is different so far. And it's a June in which Blue Jays only play 9 games at home all month. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Give me a call. You have a voice to save. Brandon in Toronto, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You're going to lead things off.
Okay, thank you. And I'm just going to say, this team, every day now, just seems to just come out and just know how to shut things down, get hits. Just beautiful baseball, just making my weekend better, making Blue Jays fans' weekend better. Like you said, we have a lot of reinforcements coming in. We have Reyes, that's going to be key there, add him to the lineup. He starts hitting again, because before he got hurt, he was playing really well and probably our best player.
Yep.
And we're going to get Morrow. And like you said, Johnson hasn't hit his groove yet. And I have faith in Johnson. I don't know if many Blue Jays fans still have faith in him, but I have faith in him. And I think a lot of people seem to forget he was close to being a Cy Young winner. That switch, which is there. And I have one question. How is Gibby in the All-Star? How does that work? Is it Leland that picks, or was it the MLB that picks?
No, it was Jim Leland who picked, and probably with some prodding from Major League Baseball. Every year, the managers of the All-Star teams are the managers from the teams that were in the World Series the year before. They generally will bring their own staffs, but they'll also add 2 other managers as coaches. And sometimes it's their friends, sometimes it's guys whose teams are having good years. There are all kinds of reasons. This year, they really wanted to Mets it up, I think. And that's why the selections were made. All 4 of the managers who were selected to join Jim Leland and Bruce Bochy at the All-Star game have ties to the New York Mets. John Gibbons was drafted by them in the first round and played for them in the big leagues. His little cup of coffee in the majors and with the game at Citi Field in New York, they really wanted a Mets flair, and I think that's why they did it. So there you go. I'm informed by the Blue Jays Vice President of Communications, Jay Stenhouse, that Jose Bautista left the game with muscle cramps. Just muscle cramps. It's 90 degrees. It's hot. And whether or not you hydrate enough, it's going to be tough today. And that's probably why R.A. Dickey came out of the game in the sixth, and that's why Jose Bautista was taken out of the game after his eighth inning single. Just muscle cramps. No big deal. 6-1, the Blue Jays beat the Rangers. Ray in Guelph, you're next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Yeah, Mike, I'm talking about one of the comments they made on the television crew today about chemistry and Kawasaki particularly and how important he is. And I'd like to have your comments of who you feel is going to be cut when Reyes and Lowry come back. I think that's probably a very important question. I'll hang up and listen to you. Thanks.
It is a very important question. Absolutely, that's a very important question. It's also a question that we don't know the answer to because it's not going to happen for 10 days, 2 weeks, and nobody has a crystal ball. You can look right now and you can break down the roster, and I'm sure that's what you want me to do, and I don't want to say anything definitively because we don't know. But when you look at it, Emilio Bonifacio is out of options. The Blue Jays are committed to Meister Esturiz on a 3-year deal. Mark DeRosa's done a very, very good job for the Blue Jays, hitting left-handers, filling in, and being that strong veteran guy, whether that means anything or not, tangibly. So, looks like Munenori Kawasaki is going to be going back down to Buffalo. He's been great to watch. He's been a lot of fun. And he's done a fine job filling in for Jose Reyes. But he doesn't have the arm to play third. So you can't have him as an all-around utility infielder type guy. We don't know if he can play second or not. He's hitting 221 with a 294 slugging. So he hasn't hit as much as people want to believe that he has. He gets on base. He gives you good at-bats. But he gets on base relative to having a 221 batting average. And I think that that's the way it's going to go down, assuming nobody else gets hurt, assuming everything stays status quo. And I think it's going to be difficult for a lot of Blue Jays fans to accept. But I think when it comes down to it, everything stays the way it is, then really that's the move for the Blue Jays to make. Munenori Kawasaki heads back down to AAA. Tony in London. Listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, the Fan. Blue Jays beat the Rangers 6-1. Tony, you're on the Blue Jays Talk.
Mike, it's the team that we expected to see at the start of the season, and the real test is going to come for the winding up June with 10 games against the Orioles, Tampa Bay, and Boston. Three of the four teams ahead of us. You don't face the East again until, or extensively until mid-August. So that's, hopefully, this team will keep playing like that, and you'll have a better idea just how realistic the enthusiasm can be. So I'm saying that by June 30th, we'll know, especially just how many games back, and realistically, if this team can. This team was expected to play about 600, roughly. This was the team Vegas picked for first, and you figure a 600 winning percentage at this pace the remainder of the season. That's an 88-win season. That might not be enough wins, but you've got to take the wins away from those East clubs. And like I say, pretty well all of July is not much East at all until mid-August. And that'll be the real telltale sign if this club is going to be a factor this year.
Yeah, I don't agree. I don't think that. I mean, you can't take any 10-game segment and say, well, this is going to tell us the real story. You're right about a lot of the things that you say, but if the Blue Jays go 5-5 in those 10 games against the Red Sox, Orioles, and Rays, then that doesn't mean they're not going to be able to get back in it, and it doesn't mean all is lost, and, you know, it doesn't mean anything like that. It means that they went 5-5 in those 10 games, and they've got a whole bunch of other games. It would be great to see them really grab the bull by the horns in those games against the American League East and run roughshod over those three teams and gain a whole bunch of ground because they're playing better right now than anybody else in the division, save for the Rays, over 6 weeks, over the last couple of weeks, they're playing better than anybody, period. But there are no 10-game referenda on a season. It would be great. But that means, to say that means that if they don't play great over those 10 games, then you're saying, well, all is lost, forget it. And that's not the way it works. But one hopes they can certainly keep this up. I also don't think that they were expected, rationally, to play 600 ball all season long. That's 97 wins. And that was a lot to ask for. I don't know that anybody really believed that this was a 97-win team. Maybe, you know, good shot at 90, 92. But that might be splitting hairs there. Let's just see what happens tomorrow, see what happens against the Rockies, and then let those 10 games go and see what happens. I mean, that's what it's all about. I know I'm repeating myself, but that's kind of what's been lost, is, you know, we want to talk about things before they happen. We want to know what's going to happen in 2 weeks. We want to say this is going to happen over the next 10 days. We don't know. And we're losing the fun of the enjoyment of watching it. People who jumped off the bandwagon in April have missed out on these last 9 games. Blue Jays won 7 of them and have started to look really good. They've missed out on the last 6 weeks where the Blue Jays have been one of the best teams in Major League Baseball, because they were so convinced in April that everything was going to hell. There's utility in a baseball season, and there's fun and enjoyment and excitement in seeing how things play out. And whether, you know, as much as we want to know what's going to happen, nobody does. Blue Jays have the same record right now as the Oakland A's did through 67 games last season, 31-36, and the Oakland A's wound up in first place. Nobody thought that was going to happen. More of your phone calls coming up as we continue the Blue Jays talk. On the other side, a 6-1 win for the Torontos today. It's a Honda postgame show on the Blue Jays Home Hardware Radio Network. Back here at Rangers Ballpark in Arlington, the Blue Jays beat Texas 6-1, 4 straight wins, and the Blue Jays look to sweep the 4-game series. Jose Bautista leaving the game for a pinch runner in the 8th inning with just muscle cramps on a hot, hot day here in Texas, though not as hot as it's been the last couple of days, and it's going to be even hotter tomorrow when they wrap things up with a game that begins even earlier. Quick look at the scoreboard and what went on today. The Tampa Bay Rays beat the Kansas City Royals 5-3, and great news for the Rays. Alex Cobb got hit in the head by a line drive. Merrick Hosmer suffered just a mild concussion, all tests normal, so he escapes, and we're all very glad to hear that. The Boston Red Sox beat the Baltimore Orioles 5-4. Over the National League, Cubs took out the Mets 5-2. Braves over the Giants 6-5. Milwaukee shuts out Cincinnati 6-0. Rockies take down the Phillies 10-5. Right now in the bottom of the ninth, the St. Louis Cardinals have a 13-7 lead over the Miami Marlins. They're in the bottom of the 10th in Pittsburgh, a 3-3 tie, Dodgers and Pirates. We're back at it tomorrow on Father's Day. The Blue Jays with the brooms out. We're on the air at 2:30 for the pregame show. A 3:07 Eastern first pitch, Chenming Wong against Derek Holland. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. And the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated with the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. We continue the Blue Jays talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, right up to the top of the hour. From here, for Jerry Howarth, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Dylan Brown, and Joe Sicilia, I'm Mike Wilner. Good evening from Arlington.
Lynn goes. Colby rocks one deep right field. That could be another one for him. Yes, sir. There she goes. Colby Rasmus with number 11 yesterday, number 12 today. And the Blue Jays on a couple of two-run home runs lead Texas 4-0 here in the fourth.
And that was more than enough. The Blue Jays would go on to beat the Texas Rangers by a score of 6-1. Two-run homers for Rasmus that you heard there. Adam Lind in the first inning. And then they tacked on a couple more runs in the ninth. R.A. Dickey gets the win. He goes 5 2/3, gives up a run on 7 hits. He's 6-8. Neil Wagner, Brett Cecil, and Dustin McGowan combine for 3 1/3 shutout innings behind him, which means that the Blue Jays bullpen is now on a run of 7 1/3 consecutive scoreless innings, 12 1/3 innings since they've allowed an earned run. Brett Cecil retires all four batters he's faced. He is now 3 outs away from a virtual combined perfect game. He's retired 24 in a row, and that's not the longest streak a Blue Jay pitcher has had this year. Casey Jansen retired 25 in a row at one point earlier this season. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk, and I said Dylan Brown was our engineer back home. He was. Brent Armstrong has taken over and is doing a wonderful job. We're taking your phone calls right up until 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And Neil in Toronto is going to start us off here on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike, thanks for all the chats about pitching. I actually wanted to jump into that right now. Just wondering, I think there's some stat out there about the Jays using more pitchers this year than almost any other team. And with Chen-Ming Wong going tomorrow, and of course he's only pitched one game, kind of had a two-part question. One is, what do you think, you know, our maximum expectation should be of this guy? Kind of what's the best-case scenario? And then with the talk about Cecil and Jansen, you know, who do you think is the Jays' best pitcher so far this year?
Wow, that's a good question. Cecil and Jansen, I think, together have been the Blue Jays' best pitcher this season. I don't know that you can choose between the two. They've both been so great. How can you choose? Cecil, I mean, they've both pitched in really high-leverage spots all season long. They've both been phenomenal. I'll split my vote there if you don't mind. As for
Chen-Ming Wong, the next three outs.
Well, I don't know, but Jansen went 8 1/3 perfect. So, you know, it's not they've both been phenomenal. As for Chen-Ming Wong, I don't know what the ceiling is. I mean, he's a super ground ballist, which is not wonderful when you're dealing with this Blue Jays infield. It's not as great as it's been. As far as defensive tightness is concerned, they are really, right now, they're not above average defensively at any infield position. The exception may be of first base. But so that makes Chen-Ming Wong's job that much more difficult. But one hopes he can do what he did in Chicago. He had one bad inning. He took them into the eighth. He kept the pitch count down. He didn't walk people. And if he can keep that up, that'll be pretty terrific. Let's see what happens tomorrow. Chen-Ming Wong against a Rangers team that is really, really struggling offensively. Peter in Etobicoke, you're next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. Just a quick question. The positioning of Adam Lind at fourth in the order, I don't quite understand why John Gibson wouldn't move him up before potentially Bautista or Encarnacion, because looking at Lind's numbers, he doesn't have the home run or RBIs that they do, but he does have a very high average, showing that he is getting on base, getting to first and second. So why wouldn't Gibson move him? Gibbons move him up and bring Bautista or Encarnacion behind him to, you know,
I think because things have been going so well. I think because things have been going so well overall offensively since they made the move to Bautista 2 and Encarnacion 3, and I think they're reluctant to change. I mean, you're not wrong in that Adam Lind has been getting on base a lot and hasn't necessarily been driven in a lot because the guys behind him have been slumping, but Colby Rasmus is now hitting behind him, and Colby Rasmus is hitting pretty well lately. But when Aaron Sebia was behind him in the slump, and or Asturias or whoever, it's been tough. And there is certainly an argument to be made to move Adam Lind ahead of, say, Encarnacion, just because he gets on base so much to increase the odds that he's going to be driven in. But I think because things in the overall are working so well, they're going to leave things as is. Now, Jose Reyes coming back is bound to change some things, and we don't know to what extent things will change, but things will change in the batting order. It's not just, it's probably not just going to be as simple as plugging Reyes back in the leadoff spot and moving everybody down one. More of your phone calls coming up. We've got a 20 update coming as well. Blue Jays take down the Texas Rangers. 6-1 is your final score. Their fourth straight win. One more segment of the Blue Jays talk as we continue on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Adam hits one down the right field line. Hooking to the foul pole. It is hooking. It hits the foul pole. There she goes. A ricochet home run for Adam Lind. And the Blue Jays are in flight here in this very first inning in Arlington, leading the Rangers 2-0.
And that was all they would need. Adam Lind would later single and score in a home run by Colby Rasmus as the Blue Jays went on to beat the Texas Rangers 6-1. And how about this for Adam Lind? 15 multi-hit games in his last 26 starts. How stupid is that? From May 11th on, Adam Lind is hitting .402 with a .1063 OPS. And he is emerging as one of the best players in the game. He's now hitting .343 on the season. And the Blue Jays have won 7 of 9. And they're 5 games under .500. And I said they weren't going to be 40-40. They're probably not. But they're 31-36 and playing awfully well. One more segment of the Blue Jays talk for you. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, *590, and long distance 1-888-660-0590. Seems to be a family fun day out there on the field as the Texas Rangers and their wives and children are playing a little baseball and enjoying a couple of jumpy castles and having some fun, a little barbecue action. Isn't that swell? Oh, there's a balloon guy, too. Very nice. Very nice. Back to the phone. Steven in Newmarket. Welcome to the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Thanks for taking my call. You kind of stole my stack because I was going to tell you about Adam Lind, but now I guess I got to talk about Colby Rasmus. He's batting something like .300 over his last few games. So it's have fans kind of given up too early on Colby, even though he's striking out, or is this just kind of a stretch that he's going on?
It depends on which fans that you're talking about. The fans, there are a lot of fans who have immediate knee-jerk reactions and make their decisions on people immediately. There are a lot of fans who have patience. There are a lot of fans who have patience, but that patience gets tried quite a bit. And, you know, to be honest, Colby Rasmus came to Toronto with a wonderful resume and with great tools. And for a year and a half, except for 6 weeks in the middle of last season, Blue Jay fans saw nothing out of Colby Rasmus offensively. He just didn't hit at all. And
yeah,
there were a lot of people for whom that was enough, you know?
Yeah, it was like 171 after the All-Star break.
Yeah. He was playing on one leg for the last 2 months of the season. But again, you know, we didn't really see enough out of Colby Rasmus. And so people see what's in front of them and make their decisions. And, you know, a lot of people think Colby Rasmus is terrible. A lot of people who should know better think that Colby Rasmus is terrible. But Colby Rasmus is not terrible, and we're starting to see that now. I don't know, you know, where the 300's been. I'm looking at his last couple of weeks. He's hitting about .290. He's still striking out a lot. He's playing a great center field. He's got power. And this is a quality Major League Baseball player. Really is. And yeah, people are quick to cut bait on a lot of guys. I mean, look, last year, even this April, everyone wanted Adam Lind run out of town. Give him away. How many people were thrilled last year, and kind of evilly so, very schadenfreude, thrilled last year when the Blue Jays took Adam Lind off the 40-man roster? How many people were willing to pay for the bus ticket to get Edwin Encarnacion out of here 2.5 years ago? That's part of being a fan. Also part of being a fan is never admitting that and always thinking that you were supporting them the whole way. Clark is in Georgian Bluffs enjoying life out at the cottage, I'm thinking. Welcome to the Blue Jays talk.
It's not the cottage, Mike. It's where I live.
Well, that's even better then.
It is wonderful. Comment and a couple questions on Rajay. The comment is, you said right at the very beginning of Jay's talk, do you notice the difference? I think that it's like right now watching them and listening to them, because I pretty well just listen to them. It's like they're coming to the office, they're checking in, they go about their business, they do their job, they leave the office.
Yeah, nothing flashy about this little run, is there?
No. And before, it was like there were a bunch of elementary school students running around, didn't have a clue what to do, and couldn't focus.
I don't know if it was that. It was that bad a few times, yeah.
I was at the game in New York when Laffy started, and it was a laugh fest, to say the least. Despite several of their home runs, their fielding was atrocious.
Yeah, they had a few games there where they kicked the ball around the field. It's
all
true.
All over the place.
Yep.
Two questions about Rajay.
Sure.
One is, when I was down at the Rogers Center, I had my binoculars on him, and I noticed he had on a mouth guard.
A lot of guys wear a mouth guard.
How many guys wear mouth guards?
Not an insignificant amount. I don't know exactly how many. Some of them feel as though it centers them a little bit better. Some of them do it to ward off potential concussions. You know, if you got a mouth guard in, that can help protect against a concussion. So I don't know how many people do it, but some guys do.
Yeah, I wondered if it was because of his head first sliding that he wore it.
Quite possible.
Yeah. The other one was about his sliding, and now he's taken to wearing what you guys have dubbed the oven mitt.
Yeah, I love the oven mitt.
I'd really like to know, in terms of what are the Major League rules around an appendage like that, because clearly it can give him an extension to his hand that can be an advantage.
Not much. Well, and the oven mitt doesn't get there first, because when he's reaching for the bag with his fingers, the oven mitt's in the air. And so it's not, you know, it's what, like an eighth of an inch maybe ahead of his fingers. It's there to protect him from breaking his fingers.
I think it's
a great idea, but I don't think it provides any advantage in getting to a base sooner.
You don't think that extends the reach a bit?
No, because he's not reaching with the mitt, right? It's not like it's a glove it's not like it's a real oven mitt that covers his entire hand.
Yeah.
It doesn't cover the bottom of his hand. He's got to still reach for it with his bare hand, and when he reaches, the top of it goes up and it doesn't get to the bag first before his fingers do.
The other thing I was wondering about is, and maybe the way you've described it actually works as he's coming into base negates this, but I was also thinking that if you've got a colored oven mitt on, certainly will attract the umpire's attention and may give you that split second or fraction of a second advantage as well.
Certainly possible. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that.
There doesn't seem to be any regulations in...
No, I think there are regulations, but I don't think you can actually extend your limbs with equipment, but I don't think that's what the oven mitt does.
Okay,
great. It just looks like it. Appreciate the call, Clark. Thank you. We'll get a couple more in before we go. A 6-1 win for the Blue Jays. They've won 7 of 9, 4 in a row. And despite the fact that they've never swept a 3-game series this year, they have won the first 3 here in Texas, and they will go for the 4-game sweep tomorrow. Andrew is in London. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hello, Mr. Wilner.
Hello, Mr. Andrew.
Yes. No, we got cut off a couple of weeks ago. You were defending Brett Laurie's Twitter about the fans haven't accomplished anything in professional sports, so you should shut up. And you said that was okay with you.
Yeah, it was okay with me, what Brett Laurie had said, because I think that a lot of the meanness that comes out on Twitter comes from a pretty horrible place, from a lot of people, and I don't mind the athletes smacking people down.
Well, that's good.
Who deserve it?
No, well, Greg Zahn said that Laurie hasn't accomplished anything in pro sports either.
Yeah, so. Greg Zahn is incorrect.
Oh, perhaps so. But I just have one question for you. If
sure.
Brett Laurie is right, and unless you've accomplished something in pro sports, you should keep your mouth shut, where does that leave Jay's talk?
Oh, where does that leave me? Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's,
but
that's,
see,
that's
here's
1A.
The difference.
No, the question is Jay's talk. You're 1A.
Oh, yeah, and you mean all the people who call in, too.
Yeah, where does that leave?
Well, I don't
humana,
think...
Humana.
No, not at all. Thank you, Andrew. I don't think that Brett Laurie was saying you're not allowed to have an opinion about professional sports if you've never played or if you've never accomplished anything in professional sports. I think what Brett Laurie was saying was that you're not allowed to be an ass to a professional athlete about his craft, his game, all that stuff, without having done it. And I don't think that's unfair. And if anyone has been on Twitter, the overwhelming amount of not just negativity, but ugliness and meanness and hate and the vile stuff that otherwise normal human beings feel comfortable tapping out on a keyboard and sending out to the world is disgusting. And I do not blame any of those guys one bit for reacting to it. Ian in Toronto, you're up next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. I want to ask your opinion on when Ismael Rogers starts and they put out three elite relievers who are doing really well right now. Wondering if that could be a new baseball strategy, you know, in the fifth spot.
It's an interesting thought, and you know, Tony La Russa tried it years and years and years ago with Oakland, where he would have his starting pitcher go three innings and then turn it over to the bullpen. Problem is, you can't do it on a regular basis. And Ismael Rogers went seven innings last time out, so the purpose of bringing him into the rotation wasn't to have him go four or five and then use the great relievers, because you want to make sure you have those great relievers available when you really, really need them, too. Which, you know, may not necessarily be that game. But, I mean, it almost makes for a reasonable argument to have an eight-man bullpen. If seven of the eight of them, or all eight, are really, really good, then that does allow you to have a weaker starting pitcher who goes out there and can only give you four innings and then turn it over to these great relievers. And the Blue Jays have a bunch of really good relievers, and enough of them that they're 23-0 when leading after seven innings, which means they can roll them over. That you don't need to have the same guys every night to get yourself a win. You can mix and match, and that's what's allowed the Blue Jays to remain where they are, five games under 500, despite having some pretty terrible starting pitching for a lot of the year.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, I appreciate the call. We'll sneak in one more before we're done. Go up to the nation's capital. John is in Ottawa, listening on sportsnet590.ca. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. I just wanted to get an update, see if you had one, on Santos and on Happ, and see if we'll get to see them pitch anytime soon in the next couple weeks or whatnot.
Not in the next couple weeks, no. Sergio Santos threw long toss yesterday. He's recovering from elbow surgery. They thought he was going to be out until at least the beginning of July, and I would assume that that's going to be the absolute earliest that we're going to see him, and I think even that is a stretch. They're not going to take any chances with him. He only threw five innings last year. He's only thrown four innings this year. So they're going to be really, 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 really careful with him. And Hap, we've had nothing. We've heard nothing, no updates, no nothing. It's the knee, it's not the head, which is great news.
Yeah.
But so far, we haven't heard anything, so I'm assuming he's not throwing yet.
And just my second piece, heard Romero had a pretty decent start in Buffalo. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that, if it was actually a good lineup he was facing, or if he actually had a stuff on that day.
Well, I didn't see it, so I can't comment on that stuff. But he had an excellent start, six innings, a two-hit shutout. Walked three, struck out three, So it was great. The numbers were terrific. And, you know, we're not looking at Ricky Romero as far as the lineups that he's facing or anything like that. What we're looking at is that he's throwing strikes, that he's getting outs, that he's not walking six, seven guys. He's not throwing three or four wild pitches, those sorts of things. None of the other stuff matters, because if Ricky Romero can throw quality strikes, Ricky Romero can pitch in the major leagues. That's the only thing that matters. And you know, he's still probably a ways away from coming back, but all indications right now are positive for Ricky Romero, and it's first time in a while it's been that way, so that's pretty terrific. Blue Jays beat the Texas Rangers 6-1 today. Thanks to all of you who called in to Blue Jays Talk It Up. We'll do it again tomorrow on Father's Day. We're on the air at 2:35, and we'll see you then.